Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well. Well, once again, to all the mothers, we want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. We're going to jump straight into the Word today. You know, I was thinking about what Word are we going to bring? It is Mother's Day, so do we focus on mothers? Do we focus on women? You know, there's so many great examples in the Word of women who did great exploits for the Lord. Should I go after one of those? Should I? But at the end of the day, I'm just seeking the Lord on behalf of us all. So I'm going to bring a Word that I believe is going to be a great Word for the girls, but also a great Word for the guys. And so let's all lean in together and be ready for God to speak to us. I believe that today God is wanting to speak to you. Wherever you're at, God is wanting to speak to you. I am really hoping and I'm really believing that some of the restrictions that we're facing at the moment are going to be lifted over the days to come. But in saying that, if we're in this season, you've heard me say it many times before, wherever you be there. So we're here. So can I encourage you, as long as we're here, let's be preparing ourselves for a better tomorrow, whatever that looks like. And a better tomorrow begins with a better self. So we need to lean into the presence of God and into His Word and glean from that, so as we come through this season, we might come through in the best possible way. Now, I don't know about you, but I am ready to move through the season. I am ready to come out of this season. There's no doubt about it. I have found it very challenging in many, many ways. Many of you know that I love face-to-face fellowship. There's no doubt about it. And I have missed it. I have missed you. I've missed lattes with you. I've missed engaging you in the foyer. I've missed coming to the different locations. I've missed it all. No doubt about that. Lockdown has driven me crazy. It's one of the greatest challenges I've faced. The lack of real face-to-face fellowship. Now, you know what I find interesting? There are some people that probably haven't really missed that too much at all. For me, that face-to-face fellowship, that energizes me. That puts air in my tires. It puts fuel in my tank. It gets me up and about and ready to go. But for some people, I am aware that face-to-face fellowship and face-to-face engagement and relationship can actually be a bit of a drain, but that's not me. I'm like, I love it. I love you. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my community, and I want to engage. But in this season, we haven't been able to do that. I think there's going to be some things we're going to be happy to leave behind as we go through this season. There's going to be some things that we actually want to take into the future. One of the things that I think we should take into the future is Zoom. You might be like, we're over Zoom. No, because there is a practical side of Zoom that we can take into our future that's going to be a great blessing to us all. Just a little while ago, I had an incredible opportunity to join with much of our worship team across the life of Enjoy Church. That meant there was people from other states that were able to lean in and come into a space where we were able to dialogue and connect, and we had a wonderful time together. And in that conversation that we had, one of the questions I got asked was, Pastor Jane, how have you been able to stay so buoyant during this season? Now I'm in preach mode at the moment, so the truth is I haven't necessarily been like this the whole time. But the truth is, as a typical statement, I have been buoyant and I have been up and about, no doubt about that. Now, it's a great question, because anyone who knows me knows that much of what I do to keep air in my tires and fuel in my tank has been taken away at this time. For example, I love our services. If you like our services, I love our services. If you enjoy our services, I double enjoy our services. I really do. I love everything about our service. I love the physical connection from the car park to the foyer to coming into the service, the high-fiving, the hugging, the embracing. I love that physical reality. I love our worship experience. I don't know about you. I'm biased to the core. I absolutely love our worship experience when we're all gathered together in one place, lifting up the name of Jesus. I love our fellowship afterwards when we're in the foyer and hanging out and praying for each other and just having that true fellowship that comes because we have one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Savior. I love that. I love our laughter. I love our latte. I love so much of what we do together as a church. But in reality, at the moment, so much of it is on hold. So with all these things on hold, how have I managed to stay buoyant? With all of these things on hold, How have I managed, as Christian said, to continue to deliver the goods when so much of what I enjoy has been taken away? I want you to turn with me, if you will, today to Genesis chapter 26. We're going to read from verse 12 together. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. I don't know about you. I desire to have the Lord's favor upon my life. I desire to have the Lord's blessing upon my life, and I speak that over you also. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. I once heard a wise man say, "Well, well, well." Well, that's all I got. I know it's a dad joke and it's Mother's Day, but well, well, well. And so while lattes, cafes, golfing and cruising and all these other things, while they may be things that put fuel in my tank, they may be things that put air in my tires and get me up and about, the reality and the substance of my spiritual life and therefore my buoyancy through this season has more to do with the condition of my well than anything else. We need to remember, in essence, that Isaac was a farmer. That's what he was. And in a year of famine, he prospered and he prospered and he prospered because the Lord blessed him. The reason he prospered is none other than the Lord blessed him. Everything was against him, but the Lord blessed him. The times were against him, but the Lord blessed him. He was in a famine, but the Lord blessed him. And so when the Philistines saw it and envied it, they became jealous. And what did they want to do? They wanted to rob, kill, and destroy. And isn't that what our enemy always wants to do? He wants to rob and to kill and destroy the blessing that was upon Isaac's life. And how did they go about doing that? You know it because we read it. They went out and they began to fill up Isaac's wells. They began to fill it up with earth. As in, this is what the enemy does. He is the same enemy today as he was yesterday, and he'll be doing the same tricks into the future that he's always done. He wants to fill up our wells. Well, well, well. What can we learn from the lessons of Isaac? Why don't we just go quickly to John chapter 4 here, and let's have a look at the discourse here between Jesus and the woman at the well. Now, I love this passage because what it reveals to us is the type of worshipers that the Lord is seeking. I love the fact that the Lord is seeking out worshipers for himself. The Lord is seeking out a family for himself. The Lord is seeking out people who would worship him. And we're going to find out exactly the sort of worshipers that he's looking for. John chapter 4, reading from verse 23, says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Now, I love this because it is revealing. It's like this is the type of worshiper the Father is seeking. Those who would worship him in spirit and truth. But what I really appreciate is in the preceding verses, where actually what's revealed is what's required that we might be the sort of worshipers the Father is seeking. So we find out back here what's required that we might worship in spirit and truth over here. All right, let's go there. John chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water,'" a spring of water. I don't know about you, I can just feel the spring of water bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up, so that it's not just a blessing to me, but anybody else that would want to come and partake of the water, it's there for everybody. "A spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, the thing is this, our enemy is the enemy of old. What do I mean by that? I mean the same enemy that we are facing today is the same enemy that Isaac faced. And what did the enemy do when he wanted to steal Isaac's blessing from the Lord? He blocked up his wells. And guess what? The enemy is doing exactly the same today. He wants to block up your wells, your spiritual wells, that you would not desire to go to them, that you would not long to go to them, that you would not draw from them, and you would not drink from them. Because when he knows that if he can dry up your well, if he can block up your well, then you're not going to be able to draw from the living water. When you don't draw from the living water, you're as aware as I am. It's at that point you lose your buoyancy. It's at that point the air leaves your tires, the fuel leaves your tank, and you don't have a desire to worship God and press into the things of God, advance the kingdom of God. Friends, we need living water. You need living water bubbling up in you to be a blessing to you, because in that living water is the blessing of God. In that living water is the favor of God, not just for you, but for all those around you as well. So our enemy, who came to rob, kill, and destroy, wants to block up our wells and to stop the flow of living water. But Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. That's an amazing statement. Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I love this statement and I love this thought. Well, said the wise man. We need to go to the well and drink and drink and drink and drink, that there may be a spring of living water that wells up within us that benefits both our lives and the lives of all those around us. So many people hunger and thirst after so many things, never being satisfied. But I tell you the truth, when you come to the spring of living water, you're going to be satisfied in every part of your life. It will change. It will change perspective. It'll change your thirst. It'll change your hunger. It'll change your desires. All of a sudden, you're going to realize, man, I've been longing for everything out there. But the truth is that if I drink the living water, I'm going to be satisfied in here. Now, the enemy, he wants to destroy, he wants to block, he wants to fill any way he can the well that is within us. But Jesus, he wants us to drink and drink and drink the living water that he has and continues to provide. Now, I don't have many streams, but I have a number of wells. And you might be like, well, how does that work? I only have one stream. His name is Jesus. Jesus is my stream. But here's the thing. I have wells. And it's like, well, how can you have wells and one stream? It's as simple as this. The streams run under the surface. They're down there under the ground. There is a water table down there, and there are streams and rivers that run under the surface. And so we dig wells. We dig holes in the ground, which are called wells. We go down and we tap into the stream. Jesus is a stream that I need to tap into, but I have a number of wells, and I want to share with you today, just briefly, those wells that I have in my life that have kept me buoyant, kept me up and about during this season. Now, the first of these wells is the bread well. I call it the bread well, but what I'm talking about in reality is simply prayer. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Friends, you'll be satisfied and you'll be refreshed when you come and believe in Jesus. But here's the thing, I want to encourage you, keep coming. Keep coming. And you say, to where? To Jesus. Keep coming to the river of life. Keep coming to the living waters. Keep coming to this bread well and draw living bread. Draw living bread. I promise you, as you enter into the presence of God every day, Don't come once a year. Don't come at Christmas and Easter. No, this is a relationship. And just like any relationship you have, it needs to be fashioned and it needs to be formed and it needs to be consistent. Consistent. We would not for a minute would we think that farmers or people who needed water would just go to the well once a year. We need to be going to the well every day of our life. We need to be connecting with Jesus. We need to be communing with Jesus. We need to have conversation. We need to speak to him, and then we need to listen so that he might speak to us. I love this because it says, he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I want to encourage you, keep coming to Jesus. Keep coming to the bread well, to the bread well. Keep drawing living words, because he is the bread of life. And he will speak to you, he will commune with you, and your life will never be the same. The second well is the rock well. Now, this is our Bible place. This is a place where we come around the Word of God, where we partake of the Word of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 48, it says here, it is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock. Underlying rock. That's it right there. That's the foundation. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. I'm intrigued by this statement, it is well built. The storms of life are going to come against us all, no doubt about that. Famine is going to come against us all. But we're going to stand if we have a well-built house. You'll never have a well-built house unless the foundation is strong. Doesn't matter, it does not, I promise you. Every builder in this place understands, every builder that's watching in, carpenter, concreter, bricklayer, whatever you may be, every architect, you all know that you'll never have anything that is built greater than the foundation. The foundation must be strong. The foundation must be solid. The foundation must be rock. And when you build the Word of God into your life, I tell you the truth, it is going to lift you up. You'll be able to reach higher and go further than ever. But you need a strong foundation, and the Word of God needs to be that in our life. I want to encourage you, be a people of the Word. Be leaning into the Word, receiving from the Word, and let the Word of God speak to you. Which takes us to the third well, which is the blessing well. The first was the bread well. That is our prayer life. The second well was the rock well. That is our Bible life. The third well is our blessing well. And our blessing well is all about fellowship. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. Friends, I want to encourage you, there is no substitute on planet Earth for fellowship. No substitute. I want to encourage you in this thought. Just think about this. All right. When it comes to prayer, our prayer life, that is communing with God, we'd all say amen to that. When it comes to our word life, we're in the Word, that is communing with God. I'm sure we'd all agree with that. Can I encourage you, when it comes to fellowship, this is also a place where we commune with God. And you might be like, I thought it was a community of believers and we fellowship one with another. Yes, but this is part of our communing with God. I think a lot of people actually see a fellowship as an optional extra, where we need to really see it as important as our walking and talking with God, us being in the Word with God. This part where we commune and have fellowship with the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, it is absolutely vital. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. How is God going to speak to you through your brothers and sisters? How is God going to put courage into you through your brothers and sisters? How is God going to rebuke you? It's like, really? Through your brothers and sisters. This is how God brings correction into our life. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron when we come together and have true fellowship. Let me say this, and this might be a little controversial. Going to church is not fellowship in its fullness. Going to church is going to church. To have true fellowship, we need to engage each other, commune with each other, encounter each other, speak into each other's lives and speak into each other's worlds. Be willing to give and be willing to receive from each other. None of us were born again into isolation. We were all born again into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is filled with brothers and sisters that we need in our life. This is what fellowship is all about. We were created in Christ for Christ to have fellowship with him. And we were created in Christ, put into the body of Christ to have fellowship with each other. We need fellowship. Why am I still buoyant after all this time? Well. There it is right there. I got my word, I got my prayer life, and I got my fellowship. Friends, I want to encourage you, because this is the one that's been put under a lot of pressure at the moment. These two, no problem at all. We're still in the Word. We're still praying. But there's no doubt about it. We're all feeling the strains of isolation during this time. I want to encourage you to lean into that space. I want to encourage you to rise up and begin to make contact with each other. I want to encourage you, as soon as the restrictions are eased a little, make the most of them and get together, because there is nothing like face-to-face fellowship. I want to encourage you to do that, friends, because as you do, I have no doubt at all, you're going to feel air coming back into the tires. You're going to feel fuel coming back into your tank. You're going to feel faith rising, and you're going to be ready to go again in no time. Let's be leaning into each other. Let's be in the Word. Let's be in prayer. Let's be in true fellowship. Let's come together and lift up the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to pray this morning for every man, every woman that isn't in relationship with Christ. The Bible tells us clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages for that sin is death. But the free gift of God, here is the good news, the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to pray for every man, every woman that wants to give their life to Christ today. There's a little raised hand on our platform, just right down there on the right-hand side. If you want to give your life to Christ today, can I encourage you, hit that raised hand. Just hit that raised hand right now. Maybe you're watching online on Facebook. Can I encourage you, if you want to give your life to Christ, just write in the comments there, I want to give my life to Christ. One of our leaders, they'll be in contact with you. They'll connect with you. Just right there, I want to give my life to Christ. If you're on the online platform at enjoy.church, I want to encourage you to hit that raised hand. So if you're there today and you're saying, Shane, that's me. Today's the day. I'm making a decision. I want to give my life to Christ. Just hit that hand. Hit that hand. I want to give my life to Christ in Facebook, and someone's going to respond to you immediately. So why don't we pray together? If you're out there and you're saying, Shane, that's me. Today's the day. I want to drink living water. I want to be satisfied. I'm tired of thirsting. I'm tired of being hungry. I'm tired of feeling dissatisfied. I want my tank filled up. I want air in my tires. I want to have faith like you seem to have faith. I want to give my life to Christ. If that is you, just pray this prayer with me today. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life and I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, you are my Father, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. And from this day on, I will never be alone again. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Praise God. Let's give it up for all those who just gave their hearts to Christ. Now, I just want to pray a special blessing over every brother, every sister, planted that enjoy. Maybe you're not planted that enjoy, you're watching, and I want to pray a blessing over you as well. I want to encourage you, Jesus is a stream. He's the living water. But the reality is this, we need to go to the well. We need to go to him, and we need to draw from the well. So I want to encourage you, draw, you've already heard me say it today, draw from the bread well, draw from the rock well, draw from the fellowship well, the blessing well. So we have prayer, we have the word, and we have true fellowship. I want to encourage you, as we come out of this season, because we're coming through now, I want to encourage you to lean into fellowship. Continue to lean into the word, continue to lean into prayer, but now really make it an effort to lean into a consistent fellowship. I tell you the truth, it's going to do you the world of good. Does me the world of good. It's going to do you the world of good too. So, Father, I pray blessing in Jesus' name. I pray, Almighty God, that we would all be mature in this regard, that we would have the wisdom, Lord God, and the tenacity and the strength, Lord, to go to the three wells every day. I pray, Almighty God, that we would go and we would eat and we would partake of the bread of life. We would go, Lord God, and continue, Lord, to build our lives upon the rock, Lord God, and we would enter into the fullness of the blessing of God by partaking in true fellowship. So today and always, Lord God, we give you praise and we give you honor, and I pray, Lord God, my brothers and sisters would come through this season buoyant in Jesus' name, ready to lay hold of all that you've got for them. Lord, we ask and we pray for it in Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said, amen together. God